I'm beginning today a new series. We're going to go through the Beatitudes. Zig Ziglar said one time, and I love this quote of his, he says, your attitude will determine your altitude. How far you go in life will be determined by your attitude. Life isn't fair. Never has been and never will be. We don't understand why it is the way it is. Each of us come into the world with a certain amount of things for us and a certain amount of things against us. And what we have to do in life is look at our brokenness and allow God to fix that. See, when Jesus came into the world, man, it was chaos. The Romans were ruling the Jews. The Jews weren't happy. There were people coming up saying, I'm the Messiah, I'm the Messiah. They were living in a lot of chaos. They were angry because they were having to pay taxes to the Roman rulers. They were feeling like, here I am chosen, or we are chosen by God. We have a heritage. But when you've got somebody lording over you, you sure don't feel like chosen. When you're under the rule of others and they look at you and say, hey, I want your coat, and give it to me, and because they ask you for it, you have to give it to them, you don't feel like you're chosen. When they give you their pack and say, I want you to carry this for me, and it was required by law to carry that pack a mile, if they ask you to do it, under your breath, you're saying, I don't want to do this. I don't understand. I'm supposed to be chosen. But it doesn't feel like chosenness. So Jesus came onto the scene and he preached the greatest message that has ever been preached. And we're going to take that message apart, piece by piece, and talk about it. And today, I'd like for you to look with me to Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to look at verses 1 through 3. We're going to talk about the first beatitude. Now, when he saw his disciples, he came up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In order for the Jews to exist during that time in the way that God really wanted them to exist, there had to be a transformation. Something had to take place inside of them. And he was trying to teach that them, once you change on the inside, the external, that's secondary. But the first thing is you've got to have an internal change. And that changes with you. Dr. Tim Keller was speaking at Catalyst a few weeks ago, and the theme of Catalyst was change culture. And Dr. Keller, who's in New York City, he said, you can focus on culture, but the problem is eventually, by you focusing on culture, you'll find the person that needed the change the most was you. He said, the first thing you need to focus on is the change you need to make. And if you don't understand your depravity, then before long, you become ineffective. Now, what's he really saying there? You know, one of the problems we have in our world today is religion. Religion is trying to get people to conform to an idea, okay? Christianity is not about getting people to conform to an idea. Christianity is about people coming into a relationship with Christ. And it's about coming into that relationship with Him and all of our brokenness. Now, we have varying degrees of brokenness. But see, I realize I'm broken through and through. And when you begin to recognize you're broken through and through, you don't look at others as being more broken than you or less broken as you. You recognize your own brokenness. And Jesus came into the world speaking to them, and he wanted them to understand, before there can be any transformation in anyone's lives, they have to understand their own brokenness. You know, I have this habit of, and y'all probably don't do this, but, you know, something about it, I just hate speed limits. Yeah, I mean, I just don't understand, so... But it's amazing how that when somebody gets, a policeman gets behind me, how good I drive. And I am looking ahead. I'm doing the limit. I don't sway. I don't turn around to talk to the people behind me in the back seat. I'm bad about that. You know, I like to look people in the eye while I'm talking to them. And I don't do that stuff. It's amazing how. Now, I don't do it because I'm a really nice guy. My only reason for doing it is so I won't get a ticket. Sometimes that's the way we are in life. It's not about who we are inside. It's not our character. Our performance is more about acceptance, or it's about not getting a ticket. And so when our performance is about acceptance, or not getting a ticket, so to speak, not getting pulled over, not getting corrected, that's not really the right motives. Jesus wanted them to understand it's not about those things. It's really about you. It's about working from within you. And as you begin to work within you, and as that transformation comes about in you, then all of a sudden, you begin, rather than the world changing to conform you, you begin to change, and as you change, the world changes. One of the things I'll say from time to time to our new members when they come here is this: don't come here to change us. But your coming here will cause us to change. What do I mean by that? What I mean, if you come here to change us, then the motive's wrong. I'm going to go there so I can change them. That'll be met with resistance. And when it's met with resistance, because why? The motive behind it. But then I go to the second part. But your coming here will cause us to change. What causes that change? Relationships. Building relationships, getting to know people. Isn't it amazing how that the more you get to know somebody, just all the walls come down? You know, I tell you about our family. We're 10 of us kids, but us boys, we've had a rather good fall, I guess you could say. We're all Cardinals fans. And so Cardinals had a good run, and so my phone through the night would be going, ding, ding, ding. Denise says, what are all those dings going on? I said, that's my brother's giving play-by-plays of the Cardinals. What's going on in St. Louis? I said, they're just, and talking that. It's like we're doing play-by-plays because we're on this group text. Last night, there were a couple teams played. One of them happened to be from Mississippi, and and so my phone going ding, 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 and it was dinging through. But you know what? It's the relationship. It's that, especially with me being up here in Tennessee, my brothers were giving me the dings last night. You know, we were going back. But God is this God of relationships. So what he wants to do, he wants to engage us in life. And he wants us to begin to look and see deep within us who we are. So how do we approach that? Psalms 51:17 says, the sacrifices of God are broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Have you been around someone who's just arrogant? You ever been around someone who's just, it's their way or the highway? See, that's really the challenge, what Jesus was talking to right here. He said, Your old nature, the old nature that's inside of you, the old nature wants to have its way. The old nature wants to say, I'm in charge. The old nature says, I'm okay. And he says, the first thing you got to recognize is you're not okay. This was made real clear to me. We've got a member of our church here. His sister-in-law was in the space shuttle Columbia when burn up, and we talk about this, but when the space shuttle Columbia came down through those Texas skies, you know, and it exploded, they looked at it and they realized in the investigation that went on, there was a small piece of foam that had come off during takeoff. But they kept watching it, and it was orbiting the Earth and orbiting the Earth. And they become very confident. That little piece of foam is not really going to make a lot of difference. Small issue, didn't look like it would be a big thing. It's a minor flaw that didn't cause a whole lot of problems. And so when they saw that was off, but they begin to have more confidence. It's circling the earth. It's doing real well. Everything's doing good. The problem was it was a false confidence. And whenever it entered back into the earth's atmosphere, that's when the shuttle exploded. And it happened because a piece of foam came off in takeoff that they didn't think was really a problem. And whenever I began to do this study on blessed are the poor in spirit, I realized Jesus was looking and he was saying, listen, you may be going through life and think there's really not a problem. And the little flaws that are going on around you, and you know they're there, but you're just really not going to address them. Those little flaws, you may think they're not a big issue. But the problem is somewhere along the way, you're going to come into an atmosphere that little flaw is going to be put to the test. You're going to come into an atmosphere that flaw is not going to be friendly to. And when you come into that atmosphere, what's going to be your response? How are you going to respond? And are you going to let this little flaw that you don't think is a big issue, are you going to let it sabotage your life? And that to me is so powerful because it's in the essence of this lesson. He's saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. What's he really saying? Number one, be aware of your own powerlessness. It's being able to say, I'm broken. I'm broken. I get so frustrated at me because you would think after 22, almost 23 years of ministry, I would be a better person than I am. And here's what I'm learning. The longer I'm in ministry and the closer I get to the Lord, the more I recognize the depravity of my own nature. I'm saying, wow. So I was talking to Denise about it. I said, you know, Denise, I feel like I'm one of those whack-a-mole things, you know, that they have at Chuck E. Cheese's. Y'all play those games with your kids, you know? And I said, about the time I think I'm doing good, another little mole stick its head up, and it's time to take the hammer to it again, knock it back down. And I said, that's what I feel like life is. And she said, well, here's the thing. My wife can be very wise. She said, if God revealed all of the stuff in us that needs to be revealed at once, we would be so overwhelmed and discouraged, we wouldn't be able to handle it. And what he does, he lets little things reveal themselves over a lifetime that we need to address. That's really what Jesus said. Listen to it. Recognize your own powerlessness. You see, life is not happiness, it's blessedness. It's not happiness, it's blessedness. Do you know what the difference between anointing and being blessed is? Anointing means God's Spirit comes upon you for the moment. David was anointed when he went before the king. Gideon, the anointing came upon him. So we watch different stories and it says, and the anointing of the Lord came upon them. Anointing is God's empowerment for the moment. But blessedness is God's extended favor upon our life. And you know, when I look around, and there's really not many of us here that couldn't say, I have a lot of blessedness in my life. I can see God's extended favor. And so whenever you start looking at that, the blessedness upon your life is more important than your happiness. I can tell you this, I feel like I am one of the most blessed people you'll ever meet. I just know I'm incredibly blessed. Now, am I happy? I'm just going to make a confession before you all, God, and everybody. I'd rather be sitting on a horse in a field than on this stool this morning. Okay? That is happiness. But we got to look at our life. As much as I love riding horses and I love getting out on and enjoying the outdoors, that is happiness. But that happiness will not bring me blessedness. Understand that. And a lot of people are trying to always do what makes them happy. Happiness is just for a moment. Happiness comes and then happiness is gone. But blessedness is extended. Blessedness means the extended favor of God on your life. So which would I choose? I would choose God's blessedness over choosing my own happiness. Then, our greatest identity is servant of God. Somewhere along the line, you got to look. Your identity is not going to be in your job. Your identity is not going to be in things. Dr. Paul Youngie Cho was telling about this gentleman in his church in Korea. Dr. Cho's church is the largest church in the world, so Korea. And he was telling about this man who came to Christ, and he's a billionaire. And he got said, "What's the most important people in the church? What's the greatest thing I could do?" And Dr. Cho said, "Serve." And he said, "How do I do that?" And they have a structure very similar to our structure here. In fact, that's kind of where we got our structure. Deacons serve the congregation. Now, a lot of churches in America, deacons run the church. Here, our deacons serve the people, and that which is scriptural. As one guy told me, I asked him not long ago, I said, "How's your church?" And he said, "We're deacon-possessed." Y'all get that later, okay. But whenever you start looking at the structure, this billionaire, he said, "I want to know what I can do." And they said, "The greatest is the least." And he said, "How'd I do it?" He went through every class. He did everything. Why? So he could go to hospitals and check on people, so he could be there to serve the people. Because he said, "I recognize." He got it. He really, really, really got it. To be the greatest, you got to be the least. And he said, "I'm happiest when I'm serving." And that's really what Jesus was saying. He said, you know, when you really come to this place, it's not all about you. You're happiest when you're serving. And then I want to give you this other point. To be transformed, you have to go past relief. This comes from Luke chapter 15. Turn with me at Luke 15. It's talking about the prodigal son. It says, "And when he came to his senses..." You got your notes, underline that right there. When he came to his senses. He said, "How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran for his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.'" The story of the prodigal son is given to us so we can see a reference to a state of mind or a change of mind. When this young man started out, he was very arrogant. And he came to his father and he said, "Dad, I want half of what's coming to me." His father said, "Son, I don't know what the dialogue was. I'm sure he probably tried to reason with him, but the son wasn't going to be reasoned with. Dad, I want what's coming to me." So the father gave him his inheritance. The son went, and the Bible says he squandered his inheritance. He took it and he wasted it. Now, what happened at that moment was his life began to spiral. And this is important for you to understand, because that's what happens to us many times. And it may be what happened to someone you know. But life begins to spiral. Then finally we see this young man. He goes from being an heir and a wealthy young man and the life of the party, to he spirals all the way down. And the Bible says he found himself in a pig pen feeding the pigs. And it goes on to say, and he was also eating from the husk. What he was doing, he was looking at the food he was giving them, and he was taking part of that and eating it for himself, spiraling down. Paul Garlington, he's a fantastic man, he's an African-American pastor in Rochester, New York. He walked me through this back about 24 years ago, because I was struggling. Because I had helped people, and it seemed like everybody I'd helped turned against me. I don't know if that's ever happened to you before, but you pour your life into somebody's life and you're helping them and you're trying to get, and it seemed like every time I did that, they ended up turning on me. So I was talking to him. I said, what's going on? And he said, he took me through the story of the prodigal. He said, now here's what happens, Greg. He said, we all have to get to the place that we were broken. And it's in our brokenness we come to God, which is in reference to this first parable. He said, it's in brokenness we come to God. The problem is we have a tendency to interfere with the process of God in people's lives. So what we do is in order to, we get engaged, we try to save them. And he said, we never let them come to themselves. This is where the father, and he looked at me and he said, the father was full of faith. The father believed the son was coming home. He said, if you read the story, the father kept the calf fatted. He kept the robe ready. He kept the ring ready. And he said, and then it says, and the father looked afar and saw his son. He said, that father never stopped looking for the son. He said, but if the father recognized the principle we forget. And he said, he never went to the pig pen to get him. He had to let him come to himself. He said, our tendency is to go to the pig pen and get people out and say, why don't you come on home? He said, if the father would have went there and said, son, come on home. You don't have to be here. He said, the son may have come home, but eventually he'd have turned on the father and he'd have said, well, I was fine till you come and got me. He said, it was only when his mind changed. It's only when he came to himself. And at the moment of coming to himself, he said, wow. He had a realization moment, a brokenness moment. And he said, servants have it better at dad's house than I've got it. And I don't even deserve. Now, see the difference in the frame of mind? There was no sense of entitlement. There was no sense of deserve. He said, I don't even deserve to be a son again. But I think I'm going to go and ask him if I can be a servant. Wow. Paul told me, he said, there's something about when a person comes to themselves. He said, until they do that, if you get engaged and involved, you're always going to get hurt. Because God has to do something to separate you from them because you are part of the problem. You won't allow him to work through the process in their life. That's tough. That's tough. But over that, in the last 23 years, I've watched that, and every time I didn't fight it, I complicated issues, but whenever I would keep the calf fatted, keep the robe ready, keep the ring ready, and keep looking. Eventually people come to themselves and in their brokenness say, now I'm going to go back to the Father's house. I'm not going to go back trying to be something. I'm going to go back in my brokenness. And here's a beautiful thing. The Father, when the Son come back, he said, Dad, just let me be a servant. But the Father says, no, you're still my son. See, the issue was in the frame of reference of the young man's mind. And this is what I want to tell you today. The difference is in our frame of mind. Jesus starts it out saying, you've got to change your point of reference. There's no need of going through the rest of the Beatitudes. If you can't understand, number one, you aren't entitled to anything. You're not. And when you understand you're not entitled, then there is an automatic brokenness that is there. And then you're open to receive from God. Then you're open to take in. And actually, you're really made yourself available for God's work. I had a young lady come to me a few years ago. She'd gotten a scholarship. College, full ride, and I'm trying to remember the story, but her mother somehow interfered with that process. Her mother was on drugs. When her mother interfered with that process, it ended up that she went back and tried to take care of mom, and she lost her scholarship. Mom kept manipulating the daughter through the years. And I'll never forget, because I'd never realized this before, it never come to me until a moment, and she looked at me and she said, "What do I do?" And I sat there for a moment and I said, "You've got to let your mom go. You've got to trust God with the bottom." That was the word. Those were the words I used. "You've got to trust God with the bottom." And she said, "Well, what if mom commits suicide?" And I said, "You don't know. But at the bottom, she will do one of two things. She will turn to Christ, or she'll turn away. But if you never let her get to the bottom, she's never going to get well." We struggle with that because that takes faith. We struggle because we think that's the bottom. And I looked at this young lady, I said, "The bottom to you is not the bottom to your mother." You think, "Oh, she's there." No, you've got to let her go. We had this happen in my own family. I had a family member that was addicted to prescription drugs, and we had to let that individual. There's many things that we wanted to do, and I talked to our family, and I said, "We've got to let them go through the process. And whatever that process is, we can't interfere, because if we interfere, it's going to turn on us." And you know, I watched that individual come to the place of brokenness, and then I watched the restoration of God's Holy Spirit in their life. And with you and I, we have a choice. Now, here's the choice you have today. All of us at somewhere point in our life are going to experience that brokenness. All of us. I said this a few weeks ago, but I think it bears repeating again. Either you fall on the rock, or the rock falls on you. Now, the rock is Christ. "On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." But if you'll read the story, there's a story in the Bible, and he says, either we fall on the rock. And when I choose to fall on him, then I am broken on him. My brokenness is on him. But when I have to be broken by the rock falling on me, that's a much more painful process. And so Jesus was speaking this message, and he says, allow yourself to be broken. Allow there to be a brokenness in your life, because that's where it begins. The real blessedness, the real blessed life begins with brokenness. It's not thinking we're all that. It's not getting high and mighty. It's saying, here's who I am, God, nevertheless, it's up to you. Final point I want to make on this. The freest thing to be is a servant of Jesus Christ. There's so much freedom in that. So when you just said, God, how do I serve? How do I serve? As long as you're focused on you, your world will be full of chaos. As long as it's all about you. See, Jesus recognized the brokenness of our world, and he recognized the challenges. And chaos enters our life, and we have to decide, how do I get that chaos out of my life? How do I get all of the stuff that keeps coming at me? How do I get that out of my life? How do I get that out of my life? One of the things I shared Wednesday night to our class, our leadership class, and we were just talking. One of the things I do whenever we're thinking about hiring somebody, I like to go out and find, you know, I like to look in their car. You know, you can tell a lot about a person with a car. Do you know that? My thing is, if there are more French fries between the seats than there are in a McDonald's bag, then we got an issue. Now, I can't do the next thing. I really think, I keep telling folks, I could hire 100% good if I could go check people's closets. Because in that closet, there's a revelation in that closet about us. Because in that revelation, because that closet's a secret compartment. That closet's a private area. And so when you start looking at that closet, if that closet's topsy-turvy, it's probably saying there's topsy-turvy going around inside. And here's the reference they use. When there's chaos on the outside, it's a good indication there's chaos on the inside. So how do you bring order to your life? Jesus' entire message, as we walk through these Beatitudes, every one of these Beatitudes is about bringing order to your life. And as you start bringing order to your life, things come together. Things get, the life begins to flow. Life becomes better because all of a sudden, as you begin to repair what's inside, the outside starts transforming itself. As you begin to make those internal adjustments, the external adjustments take care of themselves. And as we walk through this journey over the next few weeks and look at the Beatitudes, I want you to open your heart. But it all begins with blessed are the poor in spirit, recognizing your need. If you don't think you have a need, there's nothing that can help you. You're going to have to, a brokenness will have to come to your life or come on your life. But when you can say, God, I need, I recognize I'm not all that. And the longer I'm a Christian, the more I recognize the greater is my need. The longer I'm a Christian, the more I recognize I need you, Lord. I just can't have life without you. And he becomes more important. And then he is able to give pieces. Your brokenness allows you to be given. It allows you to be poured out for him and for his kingdom. Let's pray. Father, today I ask you to let your Holy Spirit speak to our lives. You're an incredible God who loves us more than we can imagine. And today, as we open our hearts on this beautiful Sunday, it's my desire to see individuals be able to open up their hearts and a life change take place, transformation take place. It's my desire to see your Holy Spirit moving inside their lives, and their world, rather than being chaotic, becomes orderly. The world, rather than being upside down, becomes a world that has structure in it. We believe you, we thank you, and we honor you for that. In Jesus' name, can you say amen? Our prayer wall is here for you to put your prayer requests. We take these and we pray over them. We have the deacons here that are to pray with you. May God bless you. May he keep you, and may his face shine upon you. You're dismissed in Christ's name.